Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Greg Pickle, and we're all ready to talk some Penn State football for the next hour. T. Frank Carr will be along in quarter number four. He's going to talk about his latest scouting report on Bo Pribula. You don't want to miss that. But first, Greg, how you doing this week? Ready for some football talk?
Yeah, Jim, we're in the May, which means we're getting close to the end of the spring semester, the start of the May semester. And, of course, before that, we know it, the summer semester will be here and summer workouts will be underway. So really glad about all the updates we were able to get during the course of spring practice. And now that's behind us. So, too, is the NFL draft. And it's almost time for one of the craziest recruiting stretches any of us has ever seen. So I am looking forward to it, but we'll enjoy the brief breather here until things get going again.
Well, I do want to talk to you about that June rush that we're going to see the visits. Before we get there, though, Penn State had a commitment this past weekend. This seemed to all develop pretty quickly. Malik McNeil, a three-star offensive lineman, and to say he's a big guy is selling it short. He is huge. He's 6'8", 340 pounds. Greg, what do we know about him, and what do we know about that whole recruiting process of him?
Yeah, so with Malik McNeil, you have a Massachusetts kid who just recently picked up some SEC interest, and it really seemed to me, Jim, that Penn State moved quickly to lock this commitment up because I think it knew that there were more schools that were going to start coming after Malik McNeil as the visit period creeps closer, as the end of this dead period creeps closer, as, you know, before we know it, it'll be the fall seasons here and guys can take official visits to the game. So I think for Penn State and Phil Troutwine, and of course James Franklin as well, they really focused on making sure that they got his commitment in hand before all those other schools started beating down Malik McNeil's door, and they were able to get the job done. So he's a three-star recruit from Massachusetts, like we said, just a massive guy. Probably the biggest offensive line commitment Penn State has landed since Sterling Jenkins, which I know won't necessarily make everyone thrilled, but you know, I don't think this is a situation like that. This is a guy who can move. This is a guy who can block. I think we'll see him rise from a three. You know, he's a low three-star right now. I could see him moving into the high three-star to even maybe low four-star range based on how a senior season goes. So we'll see, but this is a really big player and a good get for Penn State. It's not going to necessarily wow everyone because this is a, you know, again, a three-star guy who 247 Sports composite rankings have as the number 705 player in the class of 2022 and a number 64 overall tackle and just the eighth best player in Massachusetts. So it's not going to wow everyone, but I think when you look at what Penn State has done recruiting-wise with Phil Troutwine and some of the other folks here, you have to trust their lead on these kind of things, and they were able to do that.
Greg, for those fans that you referred to who immediately they see three-star and they're disappointed, are there not a couple extra factors that go on here between the pandemic, so guys aren't going to camp? Also, offensive linemen may be the most difficult position to rank these players. It would seem like those fans who are, well, geez, another one of these three stars, talk them off the ledge when they think about a player in those terms.
Well, I mean, I think you just have to realize, right, that one, you know, some of these guys were not able to get out to anything over the last year and a half. Maybe they didn't have a senior season. Maybe they couldn't go to an opening regional as that series kind of concludes now or gets close to concluding with the opening and the Under Armour and things like that. So, you know, I think that the important thing to remember here is that if you're Penn State or if you're a Penn State fan and you're looking at what does this guy bring to the table? He's obviously good enough that a school, hundreds of miles away started recruiting him not long after it got, you know, some kind of information that it really likes. You have to, I think, look at the context clues here more than the ranking itself. Obviously, everyone wants 4 and 5 stars and big name guys and so on and so forth. But to your point, Jim, because of the pandemic, there's been a lot of lack of information and things like that. There's been a lot of missed opportunities to really get out and see things and for coaches to evaluate players and vice versa. So for a school like Auburn to suddenly just end up offering a guy who's hundreds of miles away from campus, you know, I think that's pretty validating, both to Penn State's initial offer and initial decision to get involved in his recruitment, and to him being maybe a better player than what is expected based on the rankings. So, you know, I think this is a good get for Penn State. I really do.
And, of course, when you start with a kid this big and Penn State's strength and conditioning program, you got to think this is the type of player that will really advance under that system once he hits campus. Greg, you alluded to it. Come June, things could really start to get crazy on the recruiting front. But first, what do we know as far as the NCAA and the ruling? It's a dead period through the end of May where there are no visits. So it's not so much will they turn off the dead period, it's the question is the reverse. Will they extend it? Do we have official word yet on that?
Yeah, so at this point in time, I think there is still some frustration from prospects and from coaches and players' families and things like that, in the sense of, you know, this quiet period is supposed to run through pretty much the most, if not all, of June. And then once July hits, I think things are going to be dialed back a bit. I think they will put that July dead period in place, at least for now. And I think that's going to frustrate a lot of people, because while they're grateful for the chance to get out and see schools and see facilities and see coaches again, Jim, if you're considering maybe 10 schools, how do you fit in 10 visits? You only get 5 officials, of course. Then you have camps and evaluations, and you might have a school that wants to come, you know, wants to see you come to their camp, and you might have another school that says, hey, we need you to come up this weekend, or we're going to look somewhere else for the spot that we're recruiting you for. So this is going to be a lot of hard conversations and a lot of tough spots for a lot of these kids. Because, again, at some point, you know, there's only so many hours in a day, and there's only so many days in a month, and there's only so many chances to get on a plane or get in the car and go visit some of these campuses. So, you know, right now we'll see if they decide to make July a little bit more open. I think the recruits would appreciate that. I don't really think the coaches necessarily would, because keep in mind, these guys have been grinding pretty good and really have been busy since this last season ended. You know, they got a little bit of downtime in January, but then they were right back to the Zoom recruiting and everything else and winter workouts, and just went through spring practice and now the NFL draft. And, you know, these coaches, you know, they might want to travel some too, just like everybody else is kind of looking at the summer months as a time where maybe they'll be vaccinated, or maybe COVID protocols and mitigation things will be less, you know, less than what they are today. So, you know, they're regular people too. They want to enjoy some time with their family and get out before the fall starts too. So, you know, I don't think they'd be thrilled with the idea of more recruiting opportunities in July, but as we've seen before, they always make it work and things like that. So time will tell, but right now that's where things stand.
Well, you talked about July, which is the normal dead period. June visits are being scheduled. Is it official that they can have the visits in June?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, correct. So, you know, Penn State has a whopping list of visitors who are set to be in town over the course of those 4 weekends. And I'm sure there'll be some weekday visits that end up happening to kind of come out of nowhere and things like that. But, yeah, that's the plan right now.
Let's look at that schedule that has been made of players coming in June, and we know that these things are always subject to change. Who are the names that fans should be aware of that are coming in to visit Penn State in June?
Yeah, so, I mean, if you look at this visitor list, I mean, it really is impressive. And it starts in the first week of June with Nick Brubaker, the Cocalico offensive lineman, who's going to be in town to check things out. He put on social media that he took a self-guided tour of campus, which is allowed, during the last open practice. Yes, the last open practice, he was able to kind of come check things out. So that was a plus for Penn State to get him up here, let him see things, even though he couldn't talk to the coaches or see the facilities and so on and so forth. So, you know, you look at the rest of June then, I mean, it's really a who's who. You know, you have guys that are committed who will be in town. You have a bunch of uncommitted guys, of course. You know, I look at this list, all the commits, as far as I know, have scheduled their visits. Anto Saka, a 4-star defensive end / offensive lineman, is planning to be up here the weekend of June 18th. Same with Amarian Hampton, a running back out of Virginia, 4-star guy. He'll be here. at that point in time. You know, Keon Wiley, another offensive lineman slash defensive end, will be here the week of the 18th, too. That's shaping up to be one of the 11th and the 18th are going to be just full of guys. Jaden Gold, four-star corner. Keenan Nelson, four-star corner athlete. Those two guys are expected to be here June 11th, that weekend, as is Nick Singleton, the four-star from Reading, Governor Mifflin running back. So they will not be any wasted time on those weekends, Jim, when those kids are on campus.
Greg, in the last couple days, I don't know if you saw this in The Athletic, a national online sports app, had a big article on college recruiting, naming the five schools where this year is a pivotal recruiting season for them. And Penn State was put in as one of those five. How important is this for Penn State, this recruiting season? We all know that the start of it has gone very well, but this is after what you might call a few down years in recruiting. Obviously a down season last year for the team going 4-5. Just how pivotal is this recruiting year for them?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it goes without saying that if you're Penn State, you have to keep the guys that are committed to you right now and have led you to be a top 10 class at this point in time. But you also have a lot of big fish out there, Jim, and they've struggled at times, and we've documented it well here with the idea of getting in some of the bigger name PA and Mid-Atlantic kids, and they're going to have a chance to get those guys. You know, I don't think they're going to get Anaya White, the defensive end out of Philadelphia, who's the state's number one player, but Nick Singleton is certainly a guy who they're in line to get, and they need to close the deal on that recruitment. You know, Ryan Brubaker, same thing. They obviously have Mekhi Flowers and Anthony Ivey already committed, so that's good. That's a plus for them, and obviously Bo Prabula, the quarterback, is as well. So it's a very important cycle, Jim. There's no question about it. You got to keep up with the Ohio States and Alabamas and Clemsons of the world if you want to get to the point they are with college football playoff success. So, yeah, this is absolutely a big, big cycle for Penn State.
You mentioned the Pennsylvania guys. A year ago, it was, I believe they got one top 10 Pennsylvania recruit, and that was Lonnie White, who kind of snuck in when his ranking improved. How critical is that, fencing in, dominating the state?
Yeah, I mean, they've done such a nice job with going outside of Pennsylvania and the region to get guys. I think of Texas, I think of Florida, obviously, some other places. So it's not necessarily an end-all, be-all. I mean, you know, I think we all thought Julian Fleming was going to be fast to the field at Ohio State, and that really hasn't turned out to be the case. That happens. There's been some really good players from around here that went elsewhere that, you know, took some time to get. I mean, there's been some incredible examples of PA guys who got away that have turned into stars, but you know, I think ultimately you need to get some of those guys each year. You can't let them all leave, but it might not be the end of the world if you lose a few and have to kind of regroup with some guys from other parts of the state or other parts of the region or country.
All right, Greg, that is it for quarter number one. Stick around, quarter number two. We're going to get Greg's take on the NFL draft.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.